بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. Respected brothers, we discussed the incident of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the reaction of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the various fitnas that had arisen at that time. Because he was a mountain of fortitude, we find, as I mentioned, that there are two personalities in the history of Islam, wherein about them we find this expression that lawla huwa, if it were not for them, lama ubid Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have been worshipped on this earth. One was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that lawla Aba Bakrin lama ubid Allah. And the second personality, just by way of information, about 213 or 214 years after this first incident, a very, very great fitna arose. Obviously, the ulama-i-kiram will understand it better. But for the awam, basically, there was a khalifa at that time by the name of Mu'tasim, who got influenced by a deviated sect, which was the Mu'tazila. And they purported this belief that the Qur'an is makhluq, is a creation and not the kalam and not the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why this was such a very dangerous fitna is that if this belief was allowed to take hold, that Qur'an is makhluq, then it would have opened the door to the alteration and adulteration of the Qur'an, as was found with all the previous kitabs that were revealed before the Qur'an, whether it was the Torah or the Zabur or the Injil of the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, all these books were adulterated. So accepting that the Qur'an is makhluq and not Allah's kalam would have opened the door to the adulteration and changing of the Qur'an, which obviously would have destroyed the presence of Islam. So one of the greatest ulama that were present at that time was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. And he stood very, very firm that Qur'an is Allah's kalam, it is not makhluq. Many, many ulama were made shaheed at that time by Mu'tasim, who was the ruler, was the khalifa. It is mentioned that finally they tried whatever they could to persuade Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, because the awam, the masses would have accepted his opinion. They tried to get him to accept the ruling or accept the idea of the Khalifa. He refused to budge. He was persecuted, he was tortured. Finally, this ruling was passed that he will be whipped publicly, 60 lashes in public. Huge crowd had gathered. And obviously, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that time his age was over 60 years. Very, very old person, very frail. And in that condition, in public, he was being lashed 60 times. Each time the whip would strike his back, such was the force of the lash, that pieces of flesh would come out of his back. He made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His concern at that time was that his lungi, or we might call it pants, should not, as a result of that beating, should not fall and his satr should not become exposed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua, and it was a karamat, a miracle, that the lungi hung suspended, did not fall. As he was being lashed, the mufti of the Mu'tazila, Ahmad bin Abi Dawood, he got off his high seat. There was a huge crowd that had gathered. He was sitting next to the Khalifa. He got off and he came and whispered in the ears of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that even now, because Ahmad bin Hanbal was almost unconscious, such was the effect of the lashing that he was receiving. He says, even now, he whispered in his ears, even now if you will say that Quran is makhluq, then I will save you from the punishment of the Khalifa. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal indicated to him that bring your ears close to me. So when Ahmad bin Abi Dawud brought his ears close to him, he whispered in his ears that if even now you say that the Quran is Allah's kalam and not makhluk, I will save you from the azab of Allah. Such was the level of iman that these personalities had. It is mentioned about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that once he had survived this fitna in the very latter stages of his life, as he was about to leave this world, in and out, he was in a state of subconsciousness. He kept on making this dua for one person. He said, Rahimullahu Abul Haysam. Rahimullahu Abul Haysam. Allah have mercy upon Abul Haysam. So his son asked him, that why is it you keep making this dua? I've heard you intermittently making dua for this person, Abul Haysam. Who is this person? So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal explained, he said that when this ruling had been passed, that I was to be lashed publicly, this thought entered my heart that Allah has given allowance in the Quran. وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنُّمْ بِالْإِيمَانِ. that if a person's life is in danger or his health is in danger, then he is allowed outwardly to say the kalimat and the words of kufr, as long as in his heart he has the true iman. He's given that allowance. Obviously he doesn't have to take that allowance, but he's given that allowance. So he says, the thought entered my heart that I can save myself from being lashed publicly if I will outwardly accept the viewpoint of the Khalifa and utter these words of kufr. So he says that no sooner the thought just entered my heart, he was tied up and he was being led to be whipped. He says, all of a sudden one person presented himself in front of me, huge in build, in size. And he addressed me and he said that, do you know who I am? So he said, no, I don't know who you are. So he said, my name is Abul Haysam. I am the biggest daku and thief of Baghdad. And it is recorded in the criminal registers of Baghdad that repeatedly for stealing over the years, I have been lashed a total of 18,000 times. Many, many times this, they have tried to dissuade me, they have lashed me publicly, I have carried on stealing. So he whispered in his ears and he said that 18,000 lashes did not cause me to stop my thieving and my stealing. Don't let the fear of lashes cause you to avoid or to stay away from suffering for the sake of Allah. I could bear the lashes for stealing. I want you to bear these lashes to keep the kalam of Allah and the greatness of Allah in front of you. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says that when he said this, a burst of energy came into me. And this idea or this thought of outwardly uttering the words of kufr, I abandoned it. And that is when I made dua to Allah that at least my satr should not become exposed. One point our elders raised about this incident is the Abul Haysam that gave him this encouragement was a sinner, a public sinner. So a lot of times we have this mindset is put forward that listen, if a person is gunegar or is a sinner, he mustn't do tabligh. He mustn't encourage others to do good. We find that there are two commands of Allah. Practice on what you preach is one command of Allah. Propagate this deen, that is another command of Allah. If you are not practicing on the first one, if you are not practicing on the first command of Allah, that is you are doing tabligh but you are not practicing, then you are given this encouragement that whatever you are inviting towards, bring it in your life. Allah Ta'ala has advocated that. Quran tells us that. That is the ta'lim of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the fact that you are not practicing does not exonerate you from tabligh. This was a gunegar, a sinner. Yet he made tabligh of who? He gave da'wah to who? To the imam of the time, to the alim of the time. And because of his encouragement, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal stood firm in the face of this fitna to such an extent that till his deathbed he would make dua for this person. Rahimullah Abul Haysam. And Allah gave Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimullah this maqam. That as I mentioned, muhaddithin have written about two people. Lola Abu Bakrin radiyallahu anhu lama ubid Allah. It were not for Abu Bakr, Allah's worship would have stopped on this earth. And it is mentioned about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal that Lola Ahmad lama ubid Allah. If it were not for Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, then also Islam would have been destroyed from this earth. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah.